The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
When the time has come for moving on, you can't go wrong.
Pointing You Home with Eric Stewart on WMAL.
Pointing You Home.
Now, here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Good morning, good morning. Today on Pointing You Home, your number one local real estate news resource, we'll learn about the history of the George Washington Parkway. And what are green streets? And could they come to your neighborhood? Stay tuned for more on that a little bit later. Hey, if you have to leave us for some reason, I just want you to know, you can take me with you anywhere. That's right, because you can listen to any of your favorite shows, whether it's Pointing You Home, Senior Solutions Radio, or Real Estate Now, tonight's show at 9:30. You can listen to them on your smartphone through any number of podcasting applications, you know, something like Spotify, for instance. So if you're interested, take me along, listen to the shows while you're driving or jogging or whatnot, and we can always be together. Right now, let's jump into local news that matters to you. Have you ever heard the history of the George Washington Parkway? Well, if you haven't, it's really quite interesting. See, back in 1930, cars were growing in numbers by astounding amounts. But the majority of roads outside of townships were still mud and farmland. In other words, you didn't really have roads like we know them today at all. Outside the cities, road conditions were just almost medieval. If you wanted to cross a country in the 1930s, you did it on cow trails. You really had a hard time getting anywhere unless you actually were willing to take the time, bounce the roads up and down to get where you wanted to go. So people clamored for more and better roads. And as a result, in the period of the New Deal, there was a project to create an area of parkway that would tie the parkland from up at the very top of where 495 and George Washington Parkway start all the way to Mount Vernon. It's really not only innovative in that it keeps a low profile in its drive. You have no signs that you're seeing as you're driving down other than the signs for exits to get off. There are no advertisements. Everything is lush and green. You've got stone walls that were typical of the early 1930s architecture. And being that it was one of the first high-speed roadways designed specifically for automobiles in the United States, and it incorporated a park as a part of it, it is in fact a national park that you drive through. It really is a sight to behold, and it's definitely worth our respect. Wonderful to pull off at one of the scenic overlooks and be able to just take a peek down at the river below. It's by itself is a wonderful place to stop as you drive down it and just enjoy the scenery. The George Washington Parkway really is a wonderful resource right here in the D.C. area. Ellicott City, you heard about this flood. Again, now, I've lived here my whole life. The question is, was this a man-made or a natural disaster? It's hard to imagine that in 2016 the town could be so heavily flooded and then have it happen just 2 years later. You remember what happened then? It was going to be just this one-in-a-thousand-year storm. Meteorologists called it that. Using historical weather data, they were just having a hard time calculating the amount of rainfall that would have to fall to cause the kind of damage that happened in 2016. You remember the flooding in Old Town Alexandria in June of 2018, just 2 weeks ago. We're talking about major rainfall in our area. So what has to happen to cause the kind of devastation that Ellicott City experienced? Man-made drainage systems get really overwhelmed during storms. If you've ever seen a storm drain, even in your neighborhood, with the runoff coming out of your yard and off your rooftops and down your streets, like in my cul-de-sac, the water, there's so much water that it cannot actually go down the storm drain. It backs up and floods back about 4 feet into my yard and about 4 to 5 feet into the center of the cul-de-sac as long as the rain keeps falling. If I were to go down to where the water comes out of that sewage drain pipe and lets off into Watts Branch, the amount of water moving is overwhelming to the stream bed. In fact, the erosion in the stream bed at Watts Branch has been enormous over the last 30 to 40 years as we have developed more and more roads and the rain has not had somewhere to go. There are what we call input points and exit points, called overflows, that can prevent the kind of devastation that Ellicott City experienced. Washington, D.C. has a storm sewer system that is combined with the wastewater serving parts of the city, which means there's a mix of rain and sewage backing up into people's houses when there's a backup. Okay, to prevent that and prevent the combined sewer has overflows into Rock Creek, the Potomac, and the Anacostia at various locations. And that's why those residents pay an impervious surface fee on their water bill. Some people would call that a rain tax. The EPA has told the city to stop doing that. Stop dumping sewage into surface waterways during storms. So now DC's solution is a very expensive tunnel system to temporarily store the overflow. Hey, if you've had a rain barrel out in front of your house that you've connected your downspouts to, essentially that's what DC is trying to do, is create giant rain barrels underground where the water can go and be stored rather than flow and overflow the systems. Ellicott City has got tremendous rainfall in a very narrow channel, and with the kind of weather that we've had, really weather in the D.C. area that has caused damage not only there but also in parts of Alexandria, we might think, oh, well, this happens every so often. It really doesn't. This kind of rainfall has been very unusual. So we have to build for something we call flood resilience. And here are the five R's of flood resilience. Number one, you could retreat from the floodplain, which is really the hardest one to talk about. And there are places in New York, Jersey, Connecticut, after Hurricane Sandy, they're all evaluating whether they need to pull back further from the floodplain to restore and enhance protective and productive natural systems. This could mean anything from open space to engineering wetlands. We'll talk about green spaces in a moment, which has some twist on that. Retaining the storm and flood systems through a green infrastructure. In other words, let the rain drain into the drainage system, okay? Let it get right into the drainage system right at the beginning and allow it to be stored there. Or just resist the floodwaters through some kinds of engineered solutions, similar to what Louisiana has faced with. Think of DC's big tunnel. Rebuild to better standards. For instance, if you own a home that's down at the beach, when you build a new one, you have to build it on stilts, which prepares you for a rise in water levels if that occurs.
It's good to touch the green, green grass of home.
What is green space? Have you ever heard of this? This really is these green streets. These are areas you might see around our metro area. In fact, if you've noticed it, there are areas that have natural grasses, flowers. There's a dip where rainwater will flow into that area, and you kind of wonder where it's going to go. Well, it actually gets stored underground, oftentimes in dry wells. Dry wells essentially means that you're excavating the ground. You dig down about 6 to 8 to 12 feet, whatever it might be. You put in some bluestone in there. You cover the top with fabric, and then you install a pipe into it. So when the water level rises to the top of the pipe, the water will then enter into the dry well and will be stored there versus just running off and down into a storm drain, similar to what I talked about in my cul-de-sac, where the water then flows out and erodes the river beds and the stream beds down below. You know, I think we average 40 to 50 inches of precipitation each year in Washington. And before this area was farmed and colonized and then developed, it was really part of a huge unbroken forest that went all the way from the northern part of our seaboard all the way to the southern part. And you think about the landscape as it was then, it was just very absorbent. You had lots of things that would just allow the water to sit. And, you know, we had more wetlands then than we have now. So deeply rooted trees, soils that evolved to soak up all that rain. And then essentially, by eliminating all that, you now have to put the water somewhere. The water just hits the hard ground and has to go someplace. Now, I think that, the idea of taxing people because they have impervious space is essentially trying to create a solution on the backs of how the rainwater hits. It would be better to encourage homeowners to actually put in dry wells in their property, or see the benefit of keeping the water that's flowing on their property on their own property. How so? By putting in rain barrels or building in, essentially a dry well, a place for water to be stored when you need to water your yard that you could just pump out and water your yard as opposed to buying water from WSSC. So how does this affect our area? If we can use better means, green infrastructure to encourage growth, we'll actually have less grass to cut. We will actually have better looking streets because of the flowers that will grow there and the grass, the native indigenous grass that will grow there. And the water is likely to stay in those areas as opposed to washing off down the road. And think about what happens. And this was kind of eye-opening to me. You know, as a kid, I remember those commercials of the older Indian man who was, you know, he was crying because as he came over the hilltop, after climbing this beautiful hill, you think, gosh, he's climbing this gorgeous hill. On the other side of the hilltop, if you remember, down the early 70s, he looks down below and there's all this junk down there. And he sheds a single tear. And he's an older Indian man with a feather in the back of his head. And the point of this was that, you know, we are not considering our land and we need to do a better job of that. If we think about our land as our land, land that we want to maintain and we want to keep healthy for the future, I think we should do a better job of managing the rainwater that we have and dealing with the rainwater that we have so that we can keep our green spaces green. We can also not have all of the trash that runs in our streets washed down into the stream beds because of the sheer volume of water. If you walk into many stream beds in February, you see all the plastic in trees and you see all the issues, and it's just really not a good thing. Hey, I've got to take a quick break. Thanks so much for joining me for Pointing You Home. Jim Beckley and Candy Watts join me coming up next. Stay tuned.
This is Pointing You Home on WMAL.
Welcome back to Pointing You Home. I'm Eric Stewart, your host here every Sunday morning from 8 to 8:30, your local real estate news resource. Interested in a slice of heaven in Northern Virginia? 26635 Bull Run Post Office Road in Centerville, Virginia, in Loudoun County, a mile off of Braddock behind South Riding. It's a private, secluded nature lover's oasis. Three-bedroom, three-bath, 3,000-square-foot home sits on nearly four peaceful acres. Home was built in 57, but has been totally updated with mature landscaping, including an in-ground pool, large paver patio, and deck, perfect for everyday living and entertaining. Close to all the amenities that you need, Loudoun County Schools, shopping, Stone Springs Medical Center, Dulles Airport, and the new Dulles South Rec and Senior Center. Unique, hard-to-find, secluded one-level living, a great weekend getaway from D.C., or ideal year-round living. Also in Arlington, 2501 North McKinley, I've got a listing that's a two-bedroom colonial with three full baths, two baths upstairs, another full bath in the basement, a room that isn't technically a bedroom. You could put a larger window in and have another bedroom there. It is a great value at $700,000. Good starter house, nice deck off the back, off-street parking for three cars. That's 2501 North McKinley.
Looking for home. Looking for a home. You have a home, all right.
We've seen a tremendous demand for not only lower-priced homes, but also luxury homes. It's my pleasure to have Candy Watts to discuss her $1.3 million listing in Collingwood.
Hi, Eric. Yes, I'd like to talk about our new listing coming up at 2016 Collingwood Road in Alexandria. This is a custom-built colonial, 2x6 construction, two-level, house-wide decking in the back, three-car detached garage with living space above, could be an in-law suite, a man cave, teenager hangout, has a full bath, 1.7 acres, complete privacy in the backyard with woods, your own private creek, but not in a floodplain, great schools, great house.
Well, fantastic. That's 2016 Collingwood Road in Alexandria. Candy Watts is one of our luxury real estate agents at the Eric Stewart Group, and she specializes in not only selling single-family homes, but also luxury listings up to $3 to $4 million. If you'd like to talk with Candy, you can reach her at 1-800-900-9104. Thanks, Candy.
Thanks, Eric.
Well, it's very much my pleasure to have Jim Beckley join me today. Jim is a member of the Eric Stewart Group and has been for years. He is the agent of the month for our team. And Jim, thanks for joining me, by the way. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad to be here.
Well, I appreciate you getting up early. And I do want to ask you a quick question about an experience that you had with one of our clients in the last year. This is a lady that you're working with who unfortunately passed away before settlement. And I'd like you to tell the story. What happened? How did you handle it? And how did you end up selling the property?
Thanks for asking, Eric. This is a situation that was obviously the timing was real unfortunate. We had gone under contract with a woman who had been in her house for nearly 40 years. She was failing in health, but not to the degree that anybody could appreciate at the time. She was fortunate enough to have a grown daughter move up temporarily to the area. It was her childhood home as well. And she was helping care for her mother, transition her from her current home to an assisted living facility. So again, her daughter was helping her all along the way. We ended up going on the market, got a contract within under a week, a great price, and that the seller was comfortable with, that would allow to provide services for her financially for the next transition for where she was going to go. We were all set for closing, and 48 hours before closing, I got an unfortunate call from the daughter letting me know that her mother had passed. Now, during the contract negotiation period, while her mother was of sound mind and everything, the daughter was actually working as her power of attorney. So the daughter said, well, this is no problem. I'll just continue to sign for my mom moving forward. But of course, I had to explain to her that once her mother had passed, the power of attorney was no longer valid. Power of attorney was obviously, as you know, for those people who are still with us. But again, kind of moving forward in the process, we had to make that call to the buying side to give them the heads up that, hey, we've had this unfortunate passing of the seller. The other co-owner of the home, the husband, had passed years prior. So there wasn't anybody that was around and able to sign for the house to complete the closing. Fortunately, these were very diligent homeowners that they had a great estate plan put together. The executor of the estate is an estate attorney. So I reached out to him and he was able to call in some favors to some colleagues of his in the courthouse and was able to get the will filed and get his powers in under a week, which is pretty unheard of. So all in all, we were able to settle the home and close with only a delay of under about 2.5 weeks. We were fortunate that the fact that the buyer had flexibility and the buyer was able to extend their time in the current house that they were moving from and was able to accommodate this situation, knowing that everything was kind of outside of our control.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly things could have gone sideways at that point. Had the buyer needed to get into the property, that's where things probably could have gone sideways at that point, because of course we wouldn't have been able to complete the transaction in the times that the contract agreed upon, because there was no one available that had the authority to sign at that point.
Was the contract dead because, in other words, was it no longer a live contract because the owner had passed, or was the contract, did it survive her passing and that's why you were still able to settle?
Well, we were in a no man's land for that point, so the contract would have died at that point. But again, through just verbal conversations with the buyer's agent, agreeing upon, hey, we're kind of going into a period here where we don't know how long this is going to take. It could take a couple of weeks to get the letters of administration from the county, or whether or not it was going to take several months. Going back to how well this estate was put together and the fact that the executor of the estate was an estate attorney who could obviously move quicker than maybe you or I, not being in that situation in the past. So we were able to give the buying agent a certain level of comfort as to how long it might take, but we certainly couldn't guarantee anything at that point. But again, the stars lined up in the fact that this buyer wanted the house. They had the flexibility of time and was patient with us. Now, if we'd gone back and told them that unfortunately it was going to take 3 or 6 months, it might have been a different story and the contract might have died at that point.
Right. I'll be chatting in the next couple of weeks, giving an update on the house that fell the house that fell on a tree. How about that? The tree that fell on the house and actually did kill that sale because we couldn't deliver the property in substantially the same condition. You never know in this business. It's a tricky business that sometimes confounds what you would hope and expect, but hey, you can't count on everything in life. People lose their jobs. People sometimes pass. And it sounds like you worked this through beautifully. It also sounds like the family did a good job of preparing for their estate to be transferred and to be handled by a professional. So that's excellent. Thanks for the story. Jim Beckley, by the way, folks, is a local real estate agent. Again, went to St. John's High School here in the District of Columbia. If you have got questions or, you know, want to talk with him about your sale, you can shoot him an email at jim@ericstewartgroup.com or reach him at toll-free 800-900-9104. If you're thinking about buying or selling, Jim will take good care of you. Jim, pleasure to be with you this morning. Thanks for being the agent of the month.
I appreciate it.
Hey, if you're on the go constantly like I am, or maybe you find yourself busy at 9:30 p.m. on Sunday nights, well, you can find Real Estate Now, my national real estate show, streaming on your favorite podcast platform. Find us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio Public, and TuneIn. If you're listening to that and you're thinking, that guy's talking Chinese, I want you to understand, you can listen to your radio on your phone now with an application, one of these apps, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, Radio Public, and TuneIn. And you can listen to this show there if you want to anytime. So if there's an interesting show, you hear me tell a good story, you're like, I really want to hear that one again, you can download one of these apps and you can listen to that story again. You can go back in our files and listen to previous shows, okay? Hey, coming up next, we've got our Senior Solutions Real Estate Show. I'm so excited. I'm Eric Stewart. Always a pleasure to be with you. Stay tuned. Don't go away.
The Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.